Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord's work, righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of a field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. The second reading is taken from John 17 to 37. On his arrival, this is a place called Bethany. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even God now will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said to him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. And she said, the teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. When the Jews said, "See how he loved you," but some of them said, "Could not he have opened his eyes like the blind man who have kept this and kept this man from dying?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Let's pray as we stand together. Yes, our Father, we do indeed thank you that you gave us your Son Jesus, that he came to earth to show us who you are and what you're like. And we pray now as we come to your word this morning that you would reveal more of yourself to us by your word and through your spirit. And show us what it means to be resurrection and life today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, please be seated. And if you have a Bible there, you might like to turn back to John 11. We're starting at verse 17 this morning. And the bit we had read up to 37, we're actually going to look into the next bit, because that brings resolution to the issue that is before us this morning. But as we begin then, just need that as well. The world of football was in complete shock a couple of weeks ago at the news that Liverpool's Diogo Jota had been killed in a car accident in Spain. The news, when it broke, came as a shock right through that world of football. Almost unbelievable. People could not believe what they were hearing. At 28 years old, Jota was at the prime of his career. Liverpool had just won the Premiership title in the UK. He'd just married his fiancée just 3 weeks previously. Such a tragic accident, awful when you think about it, completely unexpected, and then family and friends, loved ones and colleagues in the world of football came face to face at his funeral service at the awfulness of death. Not something we talk about very often, but young or old, perhaps it's something we should talk about a little more, think about for ourselves, for others. Of course, some people are very fearful of death. Others simply resigned to it. Still others confused by it. I wonder what we think. What does happen at the end of our lives? How will it be when this life comes to an end? Have we got an answer there? Do we know? Are we sure? Is this it, or is there something more? Of all the different options that perhaps we've heard about, how can we know which one is true? What will happen to us when the time comes? You see, this was the question that was right before Mary and Martha. They were wrestling with it in our story today. Two women themselves devastated, mourning. Their dear brother Lazarus had just died. He'd been buried in a tomb. And they really weren't sure what next. What's happened? What's going to happen to him? Well, let's have a look at what Jesus comes to say to them, the way to live and never die. Right in the middle of this confusion and sadness and loss stands Jesus. He's arrived and he says these amazing words. "Martha," he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let's pick up the story. It's verse number 20 at the beginning of our reading. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha is obviously desperately sad, still deep in mourning at the death of her brother. And she shows her obvious disappointment that Jesus wasn't there when Lazarus was so very ill. "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." You see the faith she has in him? That if he'd have been around, he'd have healed Lazarus. She doesn't blame Jesus for his death, but he was their only hope in the face of it. Martha and Mary had seen Jesus heal lots of people up to this point. And you know, if he'd have been here, Jesus would have sorted this out. He simply wasn't in the right place at the right time. Well, Jesus, he steps in, doesn't he, with this word of comfort. Verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." And now at first it does seem that Martha has understood things. She's on the same wavelength. She understands what he means. "Yes, I know Jesus. That's what I've been taught," she says. "God has made a way for dead people to come back to life, and he's set a date way in the future when that's all going to happen. Way down the track, God will come back and bring all his people back to life at the last day." But you see, Jesus isn't talking about life later. He's talking about life today, in the here and now. What he has in mind is something so much more immediate. Lazarus will rise again, yes. He'll rise again today. So Jesus makes this astonishing claim, "I am the resurrection and the life." And when he says that, he's not just offering a few more words of comfort, sort of, there, Martha, it'll be okay. No, he's much more than a vague hope of resurrection. He's claiming to be resurrection and life, claiming to be the one who can actually do it, who can take someone who's died and bring them back standing on their feet again. Now, it's part of a verse we use at every single funeral service, a great promise that we can hold on to even in days of great sadness for God's people. Let me read it again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So what does that mean for us? What does it mean that Jesus is this resurrection and life? It's a great promise, isn't it? But we need to understand it as Christian believers together. If we believe what Jesus says, even though we die physically, we'll be raised up to new life. We'll experience this same resurrection for ourselves, and we'll live again with the Lord in eternity, in the new heavens and the new earth. But you see, this isn't just a promise of resurrection in the future, certainly not in the case of Lazarus. It's a promise of life now. Begin life now with Jesus and let that life go on right down into death and up into resurrection life. Whether we live or die physically, we'll never die spiritually, because we'll never be separated from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not just at funeral services that we think about these words. We actually mark them at a baptism as well. When someone comes forward and says they want to follow Jesus for themselves, within that service we talk about death and resurrection. It's a funny thing to do at the start of a Christian journey, isn't it? But as someone comes for baptism, we say, we pray, may they die with Christ and be raised with him. Baptism is a sign that we've understood these things and taken them on board, buried with Jesus in his death and sharing in his mighty resurrection. This is the heart of the Christian faith, the good news that we share together, the good news that Jesus came to bring. Death as our greatest fear and our ultimate enemy, dealt with once and for all. And now the promise of new life, a fresh start with God now and right through eternity. And look, if Jesus has promised an answer to this looming shadow of death, then we need not fear that day when it eventually comes. We're not going to look forward to it, of course not. But taking Jesus at his words and putting our faith in him, death has lost its sting. What happens next is very revealing. Jesus asks Martha a very simple question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I can bring dead people back to life again? Do you believe that I've got that power and that authority? And again, Martha does seem to get it to begin with. Yes, Lord, she answers, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. I suppose the question looming large here is, okay, what about us? What about me? What about you? Death, for many of us, seems just such a long way away. We haven't really thought about it, given it too much attention. In the middle of life, we don't think about death. But as we've seen just a couple of weeks ago, things can change so very quickly, can't they? In a moment, in an instant, we can go from living our very best life to staring death in the face. And so Martha's question, it's a live question for all of us. Do we believe this? Have we got this faith that Jesus has the power, yes, to take us down into death and up out the other side, new life in him forever? It's a wonderful promise, and we receive it by faith. Yes, we believe, we say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Something very clear from the middle of this passage, all of this talk of resurrection, it doesn't mean that death isn't awful. We need to remind ourselves of the scene before us, don't we? All around Mary and Martha, it's a picture of just misery, of pain, of suffering and of loss. A family funeral, everyone is upset, and no surprise. We've seen already that Jesus wasn't immune in the situation. Again, in our Bibles there, verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. You see what happens, don't you? Jesus comes face to face with death, the death of his friend, and when he sees the misery that it causes, he's deeply moved and troubled in his own spirit. Jesus wasn't simply sad at what he saw. He was troubled by it. This isn't right, he thought, to the point of being outraged, even angry, about the reality of death in the world. Jesus outraged at death itself. At the end point of human sinfulness, that's the problem. The wages of sin is death. We read that, don't we? The reality of God's curse, which first came in the Garden of Eden all those years ago, Adam and Eve and their disobedience. And the curse that came, God said, you will surely die. And here now is death. And it hurts. And it's horrible. And Jesus is outraged at the pain and the misery it causes, the futility and hopelessness of it all. He's so upset at the death of his friend that here is the King of Heaven in tears as he comes face to face with death. And if that's the impact that this has on Jesus, we shouldn't expect anything different for us, should we? We should never expect to get comfortable with death or think it's okay, however hard that might be. You know, it's why the world of football is in shock, because somebody very much alive, and now here is death, it's painful, it's hard, and we need an answer, don't we? You know, when politicians in the UK have been debating, haven't they, assisted dying, end-of-life care. And they seem to want to downplay this reality. They make it sort of sound death, sound calm and peaceful and almost pleasant. That death can in some ways be made good. But that's just not how Jesus sees it. He's troubled by it. he doesn't like seeing these things before him. Jesus wept at the death of his friend. His heart grieved along with the sisters. Resurrection, yes, it's a wonderful promise, but it doesn't mean death is not also awful in the process. Well, here is the answer that we all need. It's the resolution of the scene as we read on into the next section. Jesus arrives at the tomb, and the first thing he asks is for the stone to be rolled away. And even that causes quite a stir. What's he up to? What's he doing? You can't move that stone. There's a dead body in there. What does he think he's doing? Well, Martha is the next to speak. It's verse 39. Lord, by this time there's a bad odour. He's been in there 4 days. The same Martha, by the way, that just a few moments ago has told Jesus, yes, she believes in the resurrection and the life. But she's not realised what he's about to do. She's not realised that he meant now and today. She can't bring herself to let Jesus open the tomb. Jesus gently reminds Martha and the others what we're about to witness. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? See, Jesus is about to put God's glory on display, writ large. Everyone will see. Everyone will know. We've had the words of promise. Now will come the demonstration of that power. The miracle that Jesus is about to do here, it's the seventh and greatest sign that John records in his gospel. There are seven in all. And we've seen Jesus feeding people, healing people. He's turned water into wine and many other things beside, time after time, putting God's power and glory on display, showing us more of who he is and what he's like. How can Jesus go one better than all of that? Well, here's how. Have a look at verse 42. He says, take away the stone. The stone is removed, and then Jesus prays, verse 41, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. See, Jesus has a purpose for doing what he's doing, and it's all about faith. It's all about people believing something more about him, to see the miracle and as a result put their faith in him. Well, what happens next is almost too amazing to be true. Verse 43, when Jesus had said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What an amazing moment. Before their very eyes, Lazarus has come back to life and dead in the tomb for 4 days, now very much alive, and proves it by simply walking right out of his own grave. Astonishing. And for Lazarus, death was not the end. Death's hold on him, it's been defeated by Jesus. That scene of misery and despair has been transformed before their very eyes into one of great celebration. You can imagine, can't you, that wake that they were having? It's turned into a party. The mood around the buffet table, it's gone from sort of quiet condolences and, you know, he's a lovely guy and all of that, to, wow, he's alive, I tell you, he's alive. Have you seen him? Shake his hand. Speak to him. What a commotion. The village would have got word. Everyone in the region would have heard that a man who was dead has come back to life. The sign from Jesus gives the answer that we all need, an amazing display of power over death itself, clearly underlining what Jesus has already said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, like many other things that Jesus said in this part of John's book, what he does here gets a very mixed reception. Some see the sign and they put their faith in him. They say, this Jesus is worth following, and so I'm going to trust him with my life. Whilst others are still very deeply unhappy with what he's up to here. They report back to the Pharisees of what he's just done. But what about the big picture ministry of Jesus? I hope we can see where this is all heading. What Jesus did at Bethany that day was much more than just another sign or just another miracle, another healing. You know, in movie terms, the raising of Lazarus, it's like a prequel from one empty tomb to another. A prequel to the greatest resurrection in history, that of the Lord Jesus himself, very early on the first day of the week, that first Easter morning. You see, the God of resurrection for Lazarus, he's the God of resurrection of Jesus Christ, who then becomes by faith the God of resurrection for all of God's people. He's providing here a pattern of God's providence and kindness in raising the dead. Lazarus raised from the dead, Jesus raised from the dead, all believers raised from the dead. That's how it works, by the power and glory of the one who is resurrection and life. Friends, death is always awful. It's hard for us to talk about it, but here is Jesus with the answer that we all need to hear. I wonder where that leaves us this morning. We've heard the words, we've seen the demonstration. I wonder what you make of it. Are you going to trust Jesus with your own death and resurrection? Right through this little series, we've been asking, who are you, Lord? Jesus replies, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, thank you very much for this part of your word. Thank you for the life and the death and the resurrection of Lazarus, which points us forwards to the life and death and resurrection of your son, Jesus. And we pray, Father, you'd give us faith in the one with power over the grave. You'd give us faith to trust ourselves unto him who is resurrection and life. Give us that faith. Keep us in that faith this day. And for the days to come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.